The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, February 18th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We've made it to the weekend. We're glad to have you here. Welcome to our show. This next hour is just chock full of 420 goodness for you, so stick around. We got plenty to tell you. Before we do, let's start with our introductions. Our good friend and engineer right here in the studio, pushing the buttons, turning the knobs, and keeping things under control, our own Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, man, I'm having a good time, and you got to go out for comedy last night, I understand.
Yeah,
Time was had.
I was invited to go back to comedy tonight, too.
Oh, that's excellent. And Brian Posehn?
Yes, and Mike Drucker and Ron Fuchs. We had a good time. We had a really good time.
That's awesome. We're looking forward to getting some liners from them. Also, in celebrity news here on Normal Show Live, we are just about locked down for next week. Again, cross our fingers, an interview with John Popper from Blues Traveler. He's got a new album coming out. He wants a Normal chapter, our Colorado Normal chapter, and Mile High Normal to be tabling at a show he's doing March 10th in Colorado Springs. We're still working out all the details, but it looks like we will have John Popper and maybe a brand new John Popper tune to debut on Normal Show Live.
Crazy.
World premiere. That might be really cool.
So, our lives are just whirlwinds.
I know. We hope. We're still crossing our fingers on that. Also, we got to welcome our beautiful Cannabis Carrie from Astoria, Oregon. Cannabis Carrie, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm so excited about that. I love John Popper. He's a friend of Roseanne Barr's, so maybe if we can get in with him, we can kind of get some contact information from him.
Oh, that would be
fabulous. One celebrity at a time.
That's right. That's right.
Until we get to Kevin Bacon.
Once you hit Kevin Bacon, you got them all, right?
I just watched Tremors yesterday.
How funny is that? Hey, Carrie, what do you got going on this weekend?
Actually, we're going to drive a little bit down the coast tomorrow. It's been a long time since I've been below Cannon Beach, and so I'm going to go check out some of the amazing Oregon scenery and the beautiful Pacific Ocean.
All right, fantastic. On today's show, it is Daily Toker Tunes for Rockin' Friday. Herb Age is going to be joining us, Herb Thrasher from Herb Age, and he just recently went to the Motorhead, Valiant Thor, and who else was in that concert?
Clutch.
Clutch, Motorhead, Clutch, and Valiant Thor, and got to meet Valiant Thor, who has graciously donated not one but two songs for Rockin' Friday today.
I can't even tell you how awesome these guys are. They were the only reason we got backstage. Coolest guys I've ever met in music.
Oh, that's so cool. So Valiant Thor will be here at 20 after with the song Double Crossed, and then at 20 after in hour two, we'll give you another tune from Valiant Thor, Sleeper Awake. So a double shot for Rockin' Friday today. At half past the hour, we speak with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. He's got the entertainment report. We're going to talk about Lady Gaga's Whiskey and Reefer, the Grammy Awards, Governor Gary Johnson, and Major League Baseball player Elijah Dukes coming up in the Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. And then at the end of the show, a recorded interview with Mike Pesch, who called into the show yesterday. He's the Iowa activist who filed the ethics complaint against Iowa Representative Clell Bodler for going to California and lying to get a medical marijuana recommendation. So that's coming up in hour one here on Normal Show Live. Stick around. We are the voice of the marijuana nation. Coming up in hour two, we'll tell you a whole bunch more, but before we get to all that, our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go to Montana for a couple bills and discuss that. Plus, we've got a teleconference coming this weekend from the ASA, a case in Pennsylvania, and if we can fit it in, another case involving a Texas police officer.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. Coming up next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Missoula, Montana County passed a voter initiative in 2006 that declared marijuana to be the local law enforcement's lowest priority. But on Thursday, law enforcement officials threw in their support for a bill to overturn that law. House Bill 391 is sponsored by Representative Tom Barry, a Republican, who submitted the bill on behalf of Missoula County Attorney Fred Van Valkenburg, who also testified. Speakers from county attorney, sheriff, and police officers, along with the Montana Department of Justice, all endorsed the bill. Missoula County Council Member Cynthia Walken read a statement from the Montana chapter of Normal opposing the bill, along with Representative Ellie Hill, a Democrat from Missoula, and Mike Fellows, the chairman of the Montana Libertarian Party, who also spoke out against the bill. County Attorney Van Valkenburg says that he has tried to make the initiative work, but he hasn't been able to do so, asking the chamber, quote, "How do I carry out the wishes of Missoula County and at the same time enforce state law as a result?" He says that he has convinced the Missoula County commissioners to clarify that the initiative applies only to marijuana misdemeanors. Jim Smith, a lobbyist for the Montana Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, asked what would happen if voters passed a county initiative to make a certain crime the second and third lowest priorities. He said that the law enforcement officials would have to be issued matrices showing which laws they could enforce and in which order. Mike Barista, administrator of the Criminal Investigation Division of the Justice Department, said the Missoula County initiative causes confusion for Montana Highway Patrol officers and drug enforcement teams. Councilmember Walken read testimony from John Matterson, a board member of Montana Normal, that read in part, quote, "Initiative 2 passed with the overwhelming support of the citizens of Missoula County." His statement also went on to say, "It is puzzling that Mr. Van Valkenburg, an official elected by the people of Missoula County, is doing everything in his power to circumvent and overturn the will of the people." He also noted that not one of the Missoula County legislators is sponsoring the bill, so Van Valkenburg had to turn to a lawmaker from Roundup, Montana, in the county to introduce it. Masterson called the bill an insult to the people of Missoula County and to the concept of representative democracy, as well as a slap in the face of local government and local local control, something that this committee often touts. The bill to prohibit local initiatives from establishing priority of enforcement of state law made its way out of committee with 15 votes in favor and 5 votes opposed. It is scheduled to return to the House on April 1st.
Yeah, this is more of that backlash against marijuana in Montana that we're seeing with the new Republican majorities. They've already passed the House has passed the bill to just repeal medical marijuana altogether, and now they want to go after Missoula County's lowest law enforcement priority. You know, this reminds me of how often we hear police say, you know, when we refer to marijuana arrest statistics and how we could reduce police costs and efforts, they always say, well, it's not like we really go after the pot smokers anyway. Not like we target them and spend a whole lot of time on people that are, you know, user levels of marijuana. Well, if that's the case, then what's the problem with this initiative? What's the problem with the lowest law enforcement priority? The problem is that you want to continue to arrest marijuana smokers, and you don't like it when the people tell you not to. That's what the big problem is here. Don't feed me a bunch of bull about, well, gee, what if the people say that this is the second lowest, and what if this is the third lowest, and they'll have to have a chart. No, they won't. It's not like the people are in a popular uprising to say, move littering down to second law enforcement priority, and to move vagrancy down to third law enforcement. That's not happening. You're making stuff out of whole cloth here when the real case is that people in Missoula County just don't want you busting people that are smoking marijuana. It's very simple, and why don't you just reflect what the will of the people want? Enforce the laws the people want enforced, and leave us alone if we're just smoking pot.
And on the heels of that story, another one from Montana. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony for a bill that calls for a revision to the Medical Marijuana Act in Montana. Democrat Senator David Wazereed has asked the legislature to authorize post-traumatic stress disorder as a debilitating medical condition that would qualify a person for medical marijuana. He told the committee that he didn't know how marijuana works, but he told them that he can say that it does indeed work. He cited that many veterans that he has worked with receive medication from the Department of Veterans Affairs that severely impede their ability to function. Charlie Brown from Missoula, who works with veterans, also testified, saying he couldn't attest to the exact percentage of veterans that he has seen since 1980. That were using marijuana, but he said in his opinion it was at least 50%. And he said they were able to function in a classroom environment or even a work environment. Senate Bill 336 to add PTSD as a qualifying condition has the support of many Montana veterans, and Montana is the fourth in the nation for the most veterans per capita.
You know that post-traumatic stress disorder is only covered in California and New Mexico is one of the big tragedies of the medical marijuana movement across this country. There are so many soldiers, not just from the current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also from our past conflicts in Vietnam, Korea, even World War II veterans who are still alive that could benefit from using medical marijuana to help treat PTSD. It doesn't work for everyone, and it may not be the first choice among therapist, but there's no reason, since marijuana is so safe and non-toxic and non-addicting, that we shouldn't offer this at least as a choice for our veterans who helped help defend this country.
The Americans for Safe Access, along with the National Lawyers Guild, are holding a nationally simulcasted activist boot camp training this weekend from the Wayne State Law School in Michigan for medical marijuana patients and advocates. The goal of the training is to organize and mobilize advocates and also give out helpful information to people interested in cannabis law reform. The ASA in Michigan is reporting hundreds of cases of patients being wrongfully arrested because the Michigan Department of Community Health has done a poor job of issuing permanent cards within the 20 days allotted. And when that happens, patients all over the state are being pulled over and arrested because they don't have their cards on them, even though language on the temporary paperwork instructs the police to do so. Michigan has had medical marijuana law on the books since 2008, but several cities and townships have tried to circumvent state law and ban medical marijuana with local ordinances. Michael Steinberg, the legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union in Michigan, says that the law clearly permits patients with state-issued cards to use medical marijuana as a treatment. And while every law is subject to interpretation, any cities that make the use or possession of medical marijuana a crime are thumbing their nose at state law and all of the Michigan voters who overwhelmingly approved that law. The activist training that is sponsored by the ASA will take place Saturday and Sunday and then broadcast to several city sites, so you can find out if your city is hosting a conference at safeaccessnow.org. or you can participate at home by registering as well. They promise that the virtual conference will give patients across the nation the tools they need to make meaningful changes within their own communities.
Another example of how internet technologies are making it possible for like-minded activists to organize and to train one another and to make positive changes here. Kudos to Americans for Safe Access for this. We've seen from what's happening in the Middle East with all the protests going on there that simple social networking and training over the internet can make a huge difference. It's something we'll be doing here at Normal as well. Kudos to them for doing it. Take a look at it at safeaccessnow.org.
Pennsylvania man whose conviction for trafficking marijuana was thrown out by the Nebraska Court of Appeals had it reinstated on Friday by the Nebraska Supreme Court. Millard Landis was convicted of trafficking after troopers found 125 pounds of marijuana in his car. He had been pulled over in November of 2008 for going 73 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. The Court of Appeals threw out the conviction because they said that Landis was actually in custody and therefore should have been read his Miranda rights during questioning by two state troopers. The Court of Appeals said that although Landis had been told he was free to go, he was sandwiched between the two troopers, and the only way he could have left was to ask one of them to step out of the way. The court said that the troopers should have read him his Miranda rights in throwing out the conviction, and the appeals court also noted that although Landis voluntarily agreed to further questioning after one of the troopers gave him a warning ticket for speeding, the questioning by the two troopers was, quote, assertive and police-dominating, reaching such a level that a reasonable person would have felt pressured to admit guilt. The questioning, quote, included assertions by both troopers that they believed Landis had something illegal in his car and repeated statements that if he just admitted to possession of marijuana, he would just be given a citation and sent on the way. The questioning was accusatory, and the courts concluded that a reasonable person would not have felt free to terminate the interrogation and leave, and that therefore Landis was, quote, in custody during the questioning. Now, in their ruling, the state Supreme Court decided that Landis's presence in the trooper's cruiser did not raise the interaction to the extent analogous to an arrest, because there's no indication that the trooper used force or threats to get Landis to enter the cruiser or to remain there. They decided that after the initial purpose of the stop was completed, that Landis voluntarily stayed in the police cruiser for further questioning at the police trooper's request. According to Supreme Court Judge Lindsay Miller Lerman, she said that when the second officer joined the conversation, the questioning became more assertive, but did not rise to the level of threats or force or coercion. Here is more of their written ruling from today, quote, although Landis was physically located between the two officers and it would have been difficult for him to leave without asking him to move, there is no indication that he attempted to leave or that the officers resisted any effort to leave. Furthermore, Landis was located between the two officers for about 2 minutes when he made the statement he sought to suppress. Given the short duration of the questioning and other factors, we do not find this to be a situation where a reasonable person in his circumstances would have concluded that he was not free to leave or was forced or threatened into confessing that he possessed marijuana. Now, Millard Landis will now have to serve at least 2 years and up to 4 years in prison, the original sentence from his original conviction.
Wow, what a tragedy this is. And it just goes to show you once again, folks, that you don't talk to cops. I don't know about you, John, but when they put me in the back of the squad car, I don't generally think that I'm free to go. How about you?
Yeah, I don't say a word.
Yeah, like, oh, see you guys. Thanks for the chat. I'll be leaving now. No, that's just not the way it works. And I think the appeals court was right in the first place, but the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision on this just reaffirms that you only need to say a few lines to cops. One of them is, am I under arrest, officer, or am I free to go? Another one is, I invoke and refuse to deny my right to remain silent. I wish to see an attorney. Do not ask me any questions without an attorney present. Am I free to go? Am I under arrest? I will not answer any questions without my attorney present. Well, it'll go easier on you if you just, I will not answer any questions without my attorney present. May I see my attorney, please? Am I free to go, officer? Am I under arrest, officer? And other than that, shut your pie hole. There's no reason to be talking to the cops, and it can turn out like this where you think you might get away with it, and then it goes to court and it doesn't work out your way. It gets overturned on appeal, goes to the Supreme Court, whatever it might be. If you keep your mouth shut and you invoke your rights, you're going to make your lawyer's job a whole lot easier. It's likely you won't get prosecuted in the first place. In this guy's case, it sounds as if he'd have been sent along his way had he not gone on and spoken to the officers. And for more information on this, check out the website flexyourrights.org. Order their videos on Busted and how to talk to the cops, and get yourself trained on what to do in a police encounter.
That story made me want to take a break.
Yeah, we definitely need a break here at Normal Show Live, Rolla J Studios. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Herb Thrasher and rocking your Friday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we're back at the place where reefers and rock meet with Herb Thrasher. And judging by the picture, Herb, looks like you had a good time with Valiant Thor.
Oh, man, we had a great time that night. Yeah, as I heard you guys talk a little bit, but yeah, Ganja Jai and I got to go and rock with these guys that night, man, and we got to hang out for a few and not only get to see them, but you know, hang out back and talk and just kind of do some personal things, man. It was really good stuff.
Right on. And it looks like he's appreciating a little bit of Herb there in the palm of his hand too.
He is appreciating you know, we had a gift for him, and you know, we always try to take care of our people, and you know, you come to Portland and you get in touch with anyone from Normal, and we're going to take care of you guys. But we tried to take care of him. We was going to try to take care of him more and maybe go find a place afterwards where we can hang out and do those kinds of things. But, you know, they were real busy, and they were on the way to Vancouver. And so we had to get rid of that, what he was smelling right then and there. And that made for a fun time.
Excellent. Well, tell us about the tune.
So, yeah, these guys are freaking rock stars, dude. I hope you guys are listening and appreciate everything. And, Definitely. Valiant Thor is an American rock band from Chapel Hill, North Carolina that began playing together in 2000. Their first show was in 2001, and they packed hometown shows all over North Carolina and did their first major tour of the U.S. and Canada shortly afterward, doing 47 shows in 52 days. And yeah, guys, let me tell you, man, these guys tour like that just extensively, man. They do not stop. They're all over the place. In fact, right now they're on the road to Indiana, but they're just all over, man, so check them out. But after some band lineup changes, they were soon signed to Volcom Entertainment, where their first full-length album, Total Universe Man, was released on June 7, 2005. They performed on the Volcom stage on the Warped Tour, the entire tour, except for a few shows where they headlined. The band continued to rock, never really taking a break, touring for 3 to 4 years with top bands such as Fu Manchu, Joan Jett, and others. In early 2011, Valiant Thor was announced as the supporting act for Motorhead and Clutch 2011 North American Tour that supported their new album, Stranger, which that's the two songs that we're going to get to hear today is from that album. The song Double Crossed is a hard, fast-rocking, bass-thumping, and booty-shaking tune with some southern flair. The song is just about as perfect as can be except for one thing. They could have added 1 second to the length, and instead of it being 419 minutes long, it could have been 420. So kick back. Make sure you guys check out Valiant Thor. Don't get double-crossed out there, and rock out, guys. Remember to check them out on ValiantThor.com, MySpace/ValiantThor. And we'd also like to give a shout-out to Volcom Entertainment for hooking us up with these guys. So rock on, guys, and turn it up.
All right. Thanks, Herb Thrasher. Everybody check out HerbAgeDesigns.com for more stuff from Herb Thrasher, your apparel, just like the hoodie he's wearing there in the picture. And this is Valiant Thor with Double Crossed.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Well, as the award season heats up in Hollywood and in the music industry, we have plenty to talk about in our Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. We welcome back Steve Bloom from New York City. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you know, the Grammys were on and I watched them. And of course, the news of Lady Gaga coming in the egg kind of overshadowed other news about Lady Gaga. I was hoping you could fill our listeners in.
Well, actually, before the Grammys even took place, you know, she did an interview for 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper that was scheduled for that night. So if you were sort of, you know, paying attention to 60 Minutes at 7 o'clock, at least Eastern Standard Time, and the Grammys went on at 8, you know, you would catch Lady Gaga's segment then. And I really wasn't paying, I had my computer, had the TV on and the sound, and then all of a sudden Anderson Cooper asked this question about marijuana, and Lady Gaga pretty much, you know, just basically says, you know, I smoke a lot of pot. And in the past, she's admitted to cocaine and ecstasy use. She's never really talked about marijuana. So she goes, I smoke a lot of pot when I write music. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for 60 minutes that I'm like some sober human being, because I'm not. I drink a lot of whiskey and I smoke weed when I write. I don't do it a lot because it's not good for my voice, which is a standard thing for a lot of musicians to basically say that. But, you know, the fact is, here it is. Again, she's using marijuana for creative purposes, recreational marijuana, creation marijuana, things that you can create, you know, with the great ideas you get when you're under the influence. And so she's like hundreds, thousands of musicians before her doing the same thing.
Absolutely. And it's just so good to hear her being frank and open about that. And do we have other Grammy artists that have been as open, or any marijuana connection to any of the other Grammy artists?
Well, I mean, to the winners this year, you had a couple of celeb stoners, top celeb stoners. Paul McCartney won for Rock Track. You know, they tend to throw these awards to guys like McCartney that may not be totally deserved. I mean, he wins for Helter Skelter, a live version, you know, on a live album. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were a few better Rock Tracks this year, but nevertheless, it went to Sir Paul. And I guess it's just, you know, just respect. And also Neil Young, respectfully, was named, had the best rock song for Angry World on an album that pretty much nobody's heard.
Yeah.
You know, that album, it came out in September and really hasn't gotten any traction, Lanois. It's not one of his biggest selling albums by any means. The Grammys was sort of odd this year. They had a lot of upsets. They were giving awards to people that you wouldn't expect. Arcade Fire won for the best album, beating out Eminem, who was predicted to sweep the show, and he didn't even come close to a sweep. Esperanza Spalding, the best new artist, beat out Justin Bieber and Mumford & Sons. And, you know, so it was sort of just some odd selections, but the more odd the Grammys get when it comes to stuff like that, kind of the better, because otherwise, you know, it's kind of oftentimes sort of boring, you know, choices. Buju Banton won. Now, that's a controversial selection, because Buju won for Before the Dawn, best reggae album. Buju is currently on trial. He's facing a second trial in Florida for the cocaine case that he's facing, and he could spend a lot of time in jail on this case. And meanwhile, of course, Buju's got this reputation as being homophobic, because he's said some negative things towards gays in the past, maybe not currently, but it's been sort of like carrying with him over the years, so a lot of people have problems. Bruno Mars won a bunch of awards. Now, Bruno Mars is really a great talent. He was a guy who got arrested for cocaine in Las Vegas last year. Got a really squeaky clean reputation, and the guy is really super talented. I thought his live performance was really great with B.O.B. and the lady singer he was with. So, I would say Michael Bublé, who has also in the past spoken of his marijuana use. He's the traditional pop singer who wins every year for best pop album or traditional pop album. Bublé lives in Vancouver. When You're Strange, the movie, a film about the Doors, won for best long form video, which is great. John Mayer's album Battle Studies, which had that line about getting stoned on it, won for best engineered album. You know, and so it sort of goes from there. The Weary Kind with from Crazy Heart, you know, sung by James Bridges. So there are good choices. Bella Fleck won. Yeah. John Stewart won. Herbie Hancock won. The Black Keys won a bunch of awards. I'm a big fan of the Black Keys. They're starting to really get their recognition. CeeLo Green won. Eminem won a couple. So it was a pretty cool, pretty good award shows overall.
Oh, yeah. And myself, as someone who started on the stand-up bass and is currently living in Portland, Oregon, to see Esperanza Spalding win was a shock and a delight. I was so happy to see her win. I also wanted to address something and get your opinion on it that Cannabis Carrie is talking to me about in the chat room. Carrie, why don't you bring up this controversy about the creativity behind Gaga?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, the new single she's got out?
Oh, I was just saying that I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan, and I really love her, but there was a stasher in the room that the day after the Grammys that was saying, yeah, you know, that's her new song, Born This Way, is really Madonna's Express Yourself. And it sort of ruined it for me because I hadn't made the connection, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, well, she's obviously this generation's Madonna anyway. So, you know, the difference is that she's a little bit more of a musician. She sits and plays the piano, where Madonna just really was a singer. So, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising. And by the way, a couple other things about the Grammys. Willie Nelson's country music album lost. So Willie did not win a Grammy this year. He lost in the best Americana album category to Mavis Staples' album called You Are Not Alone, which was produced by Jeff Tweedy. And also the best one-liner tonight had to be Seth Rogen saying, "I was backstage getting high with Miley Cyrus."
Yeah, that was
you just
line.
Know that Seth Rogen, anytime, it's kind of like Tommy Chong. Anytime he gets in front of a microphone, he's going to say something about marijuana.
Yeah, we love him for it. Another regular feature that you've got at celebstoner.com is the interactive feature where readers can vote on the top celeb stoners. And it's, you know, usually musicians or actors or comedians. Tell us about your latest celeb stoner, though.
Actually, two 2 months in a row we have sort of activists. Last, the reigning top celeb stoner was Henry Hemp from last month, and as an activist on the West Coast. And the new winner elected by the readers of the site, you know, via the poll, who should be the next top celeb stoner, is Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, who's touring around America, you know, dipping his toes into the waters, suggesting that he might be running for the Republican candidacy for president in 2012. And pretty much everybody of your followers, you know, of this show must know about Gary Johnson. He's been at Normal events, MPP events, Hempstalk, Smokeout. He's been everywhere in the last year promoting, you know, his basic concept of where he sees thinks the country should go, very libertarian philosophy, which, you know, dovetails into what many of us believe, obviously, ending the war on drugs, ending marijuana prohibition. And he makes it, you know, like top of his campaign list of things. I mean, if you saw his speech at the CPAC last week when he was, you know, got the third top rating of all the, you know, the prospective candidates out there behind Ron Paul and Mitt Romney, you know, he doesn't hold back. You know, he just basically, you know, after he says a few words, he says, you know, I made a big issue out of ending the war on drugs when I was governor, and I will do this continuing now as I, you know, move ahead into wherever he's going. And so I think Gary Johnson has just got a lot of good will that's been stored up over the last couple of years in his support of this issue that we, of course, you know, focus on a daily basis. And it's interesting to see that the readership of the website has kind of caught on to Gary Johnson, because he was in the poll. You know, the poll is you put six names up against each other, and he was up against Miley Cyrus, James Franco, Ziggy Marley, George Lopez, and Peter Fonda, and he won the poll. He won it very close. It was squeaked through Miley Cyrus, and I was really hoping that he would win and Miley wouldn't pull it out at the end. But the funny thing was that I saw Gary Johnson was in town in New York a couple of days ago doing a meet and greet kind of fundraiser just to kind of spread the word in New York and get people excited about what he's doing and, you know, hopefully obviously raise some money. But it was mostly a meet and greet. They weren't trying to, you know, grab money out of people at this event, but hopefully, I'm sure afterwards, you know, they you know, make some phone calls. So I waited online, you know, to get to Gary, and he was talking to everybody so patiently, everybody gabbing one piece of his ear. And when I got up to him on the line, he recognized me from all the times he'd seen me at all the various events, and he got a nice smile and a handshake because I was a friendly face. And I told him that he had won this this competition for Celeb Stoner, and I said to him, can you sort of give an acceptance speech? And, you know, without missing a beat, you know, it's not like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea, you know, like some politicians might say. Gary Johnson goes, my pledge is I'm going to continue to speak out on this issue. When it comes to issues that we face in this country, marijuana would improve our quality of life overnight, when police would actually go out tomorrow and enforce real crimes as opposed to nonviolent victimless crimes. So I take this as an honor. I'll be that spokesperson for legalizing marijuana, and I'll continue to speak out on this.
Wow.
So, you know, you got to love Gary Johnson. He doesn't hold back. And I did ask him also, because, you know, the story that broke a few months ago that he had smoked marijuana, medical marijuana medicinally, after his accident, it's a paragliding accident in Hawaii in 2005, and he smoked for about 3 years. So I said to him, smoke any medical marijuana lately, Governor Johnson? Just to see. And he said, no, I'm feeling great. You know, but basically he says, you know, he's in better condition now, but he needed it then. But his point was, like, it's not just about medical marijuana. It's about all uses of marijuana, and I'll stand up for that. And it's not, so it's kind of hinting, like, not that that he's saying he does smoke now, but it's not all about medical marijuana, like that kind of, that story broke, that, you know, he smokes for medicinal purposes. I think if Gary was going to smoke, he's going to smoke in general,
yeah,
you know, just for whatever his purpose is. But I think right now he's kind of holding back because he's kind of he's sort of on a sober sort of thing in his life now, where he doesn't drink and doesn't smoke. But great guy. You've got to love Gary Johnson. Now, I'm have mixed feelings about Gary Johnson running for president in 2012, because I am an Obama fan, even though Obama's not doing exactly everything we want. Gary Johnson, obviously, you know, is heading closer to the direction of what we would like to see happen. Whether he could make it happen, we don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens if Johnson does, you know, finally decide to run for the presidency as a Republican, and see how much headway he can make in the party.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be great to see this go on, and that he's bringing it to the political arena. We're just getting more and more voices. So whether he wins, whether he runs or not, just having it spoken about is a good thing. I want to shift gears a little bit and go into sports. Pitchers and catchers have been reporting for spring training, and last year year. The World Series was won by, you know, the two-time Cy Young Award winner, one of our favorite pitching sensations, Tim Lincecum, who was famously busted just a few miles north of me here in Vancouver, Washington. You've got a story of another MLB player who is claiming peer pressure led him to do it. Tell us about Elijah Dukes.
Yeah, Elijah Dukes is no longer in baseball right now. He's one of those guys who's considered a bit of a problem guy. He was in the Tampa Bay farm system for several years. He was one of those guys who's considered what they call five-tool, meaning you can run, hit, throw, hit for power, speed. You could kind of do it all, an outfielder. He was very, very highly touted, but he kept on getting in trouble because he had a bit of a temper and got suspended when he was in the minors, got up to the majors, ended up getting busted for pot right around that time, 2007. So kind of, you know, didn't have the best reputation, got traded by Tampa to Washington, played a couple of years for Washington, and then continued to have some internal problems with the club, and then they cut him from the team at the beginning of last season. So now that he's out of baseball, he can more or less say what he wants. And interestingly, he's developing a rap career. So there was a story that broke out of Florida where he lives to talk about his rap career, but also talking about, you know, what happened to his baseball career. And he just very openly said that, he goes, guys smoke. He said, that's why they don't test for marijuana. He goes, sometimes I smoke before the home games or whatever, but only in the big leagues. I was just going along with the motion, started being myself. I was going along with the peer pressure. You were looking up to guys, and at the same time, these guys are saying, hit some of this. So he goes, guys would carry drugs with them on chartered flights. These guys always did. He says, I never did. But I know when we got to the hotel, we were smoking good. So it's like, we got to the hotel, we were smoking good, so you had to bring it. I knew I saw people bring it, so it's like the rules only apply for who they want them to apply to. Most of the guys carry their man purses, you know, Louis Vuitton and Gucci. Kind of funny. You know, basically how these guys are carrying and stashing their weed, you know, and that, you know, he was one of the young guys, so he was kind of going along, you know, with it, you know, with the veteran guys. Hey, come on, you know, rookie, you know, take a hit of this. You don't hear that very often in baseball. It's super taboo, you know, in sports altogether. You don't hear guys talking about getting high before the game, you know, or after the game, or any time connected to the game. So that kind of like just lets you believe that there's a lot more going on that we don't really know about. And like he says, they're not getting tested, although they are, but they're not. I can't exactly answer that question about, you know, how much testing is going on. Some guys are when they have problems, when they're rookies, but when they're, you know, veterans and stuff, they're not getting tested like they were when they were younger, and especially if they don't have a record, you know, of like failing a test, so they don't have to do more tests. So the MLB was completely opposed. The allegations made by Mr. Dukes are false. The doctor he told this to a doctor, and basically said that the doctor did not communicate any information from the conversation with Mr. Dukes, the national ending of the club, despite well-reported issues surrounding Mr. Dukes. Commissioner Selig has taken no action that would have affected Mr. Dukes' ability to secure employment with National League Club, and in no time did Mr. Dukes disclose to the doctor any information concerning drug use. So basically, he's saying that by saying what he said to a Major League Baseball psychiatrist, you know, saying some of these things, he basically got blackballed out of the sport. Mm. So that's what he's contending. By being open and saying some of these things that he said in the newspaper last week, you know, that's got him in trouble. And, you know, here's a guy who is quite talented who, you know, who because of drug and maybe other issues is no longer in the game. So, you know, it's not really not fair. I mean, obviously, you have to play by the rules, but, you know, some guys who are just not quite, you know, fit to play by all those rules but have quite a bit of talent, you know, end up on the way out of a sport that they, you know, they spent all their life, you know, building up to be part of. So it's kind of a bit of a sad story for him that he's not in the game. Maybe he'll find his way. Maybe the Giants will pick him up.
There's the team for him. Put him there with Timmy Lincecum. Well, Steve Bloom is the webmaster behind celebstoner.com. Joins us on first, third, and fifth Fridays of the month with the Entertainment Report.
And the 7th.
And the 7th if they throw one in there. Thanks a lot for joining us, Steve.
Okay. See you, Russ. Thanks.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Geek?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, folks. 51 after the hour. We're joined now by telephone from Des Moines, Iowa, by Mike Pence, an activist there who was involved in filing the ethics complaint against Representative Clell Bodler. So glad to have you here, Mike.
Yeah, thank you for having my call. My name is Mike Pace, and I'm actually the gentleman that filed the complaint against our representative here, Clell Bodler, going to California in line, to get a prescription of to get a marijuana card.
So. Right, we told that story. We've been following that, and I'm bringing up the picture of old Clell right now, so that we can all. I love this picture of Clell because I mean, just in that, you know, they say a picture paints 1,000 words, and there's about 1,000 words right there. 1,000 words of mean and nasty.
I really think that shows who Clell really is in that photograph. Yes.
So give us some background on this. I mean, what did you have to do as a citizen to file the complaint, and is it something you'd ever engaged in before?
Well, yeah, we certainly we lobby at the Capitol for medical marijuana and marijuana in general. And when we started the session, we kind of just came across this. We certainly didn't start the session planning on filing an ethics complaint against anybody, even though Clell's antics and his remarks have been pretty well documented over the last couple of years against what we're trying to accomplish here. And he actually made a comment. To put a little history on it, about a year and a half ago, our board of pharmacy officially said they were going to check out and see if marijuana was a medicine. Then they made an announcement. Yeah, they recognized marijuana as a medicine. So he started making these comments saying he was going to go to California and fake a condition to receive a medical marijuana card to expose how the system out there is just a joke and everybody's a fraud out there. And we thought he was joking. We never thought he was going to go through with it because obviously it would be illegal to do that. Well, then we started this session and we came across the email he was handing out to people. And he actually, it's a very detailed email where he actually said, yeah, I went to California and I lied about having several conditions. I lied about being a citizen of California, lied about not having any medical insurance. And he was so brazen about it, and he also even said he was going to go back and do it again and wanted to know if any other lawmakers can help him come up with any other fake conditions.
Which, so a conspiracy.
He initially went to a – yeah, I mean, actually asked another lawmaker to conspire with him, which I've never heard of something like that happening in my experience up at the Capitol.
Yeah.
So we initially went to a subcommittee hearing, and we asked for somebody to do an investigation or look into this. And there was no action, so we felt compelled that we should do it ourselves, so we filed a complaint ourselves.
Wow. And it just amazed me the turnout from this, a unanimous vote that says, well, you know, it's not technically against the rules to lie and go to California and commit multiple misdemeanors, so I guess it's not unethical.
Yeah, which is
what a cop out.
Not even true, because we actually the ethics committee didn't even really do their job. They said that, but then they also said because we didn't say what ethics violation specifically we felt he violated, and on the form, the complaint form, it says list any violation if known. So it actually implies if you don't know it, then the ethics committee should do the research themselves and see if it's a violation. But so now we actually, because we're not lawyers, we're just pretty much concerned, we're activists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually went and found an actual misconduct ethics code that we're going to include with the new, we're going to file a new complaint, and
good.
We're definitely going to actually include the violation this time.
That's good, because I think
they were trying to get him off.
The way they were, it read to me is that this ethics committee just kind of weaseled out on it on the, well, you don't really have jurisdiction over this. It might be a bad thing, but it's not our department kind of thing.
Yeah. What we also included in our complaint, though, what we did include specifically, is how what he did, it violated Iowa Constitution, and we felt it was grounds for impeachment, which all that is saying he should get fired from his job, which right. I think is the least that should happen to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, what was the word on whether or not there'd be any pending charges in California from what he already did, or would anybody be trying to stop him from going again in California, the authorities there?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because, I mean, not only has he admitted to doing this, he's actually come out after this decision yesterday and said he's going to go back and do it again. So if anybody in your audience is from California and would like to, as a citizen of California, because I'm not a citizen of California, maybe talk to anybody that would have jurisdiction to at least try to come out and say, we can't have this. We can't have people openly saying they're going to go to the state of California and commit crimes every time they go there.
Right.
So it'd be nice if we can get some kind of person from that side as well getting involved in the issue. That would be great.
Yeah, so California listeners out there, and he went to Venice Beach, didn't he, to get his recommendation?
Yeah, he got his recommendation actually in Inglewood, and he went to Venice Beach for the actual dispensary, and he actually didn't get the marijuana in Venice Beach. I don't know if he didn't want to actually have it, but just obtaining the card alone, which he did in Inglewood, was a violation.
So if we got some California listeners out there in the Inglewood area, or just in California in general, that want to press a citizen's complaint from the California side, maybe we can make something happen. Send me an email at stash@normal.org, and Mike, I hope you would send me an email as well and get me your contact, and maybe we can put you in with some California activists and make this happen.
That would be perfect. I would so appreciate that. That would be great.
And you're in Iowa. I didn't catch which city, but it doesn't really matter. You're back there in Iowa, and we're talking about the Representative Clell Bodler adventure. We've also got Cannabis Carrie hanging out there on our phone line. And Carrie, if you come up with a question for Mike, go ahead and chime in. Is that cool?
Oh, that would be great. And thanks, Mike, for calling in. It's just really exciting for us.
Yeah. We're here in Des Moines at the Capitol, so this is pretty much where we have to get everything done. The session only lasts a few months, so trying to do, besides juggling all this with the complaint, we also have a couple medical marijuana bills. Well, actually, something to advance towards medical marijuana we're trying to lobby for as well.
Oh, excellent. And is there any website that you've got or contact information you want to give out over the air for people that want to help you with either the Clell Bodler thing or with medical marijuana in Iowa?
Yes, thank you. If you go to DesMoinesAmplified.com and go to the Green Central Station show, that's where you can contact us. We have all the contact information, and we also do a show that covers all kinds of topics. So obviously, this has been a big topic for us the last couple of weeks. We try to cover everything marijuana related, not just in Iowa, but what's going on across the country as well.
Excellent. You said that's Des Moines Amplified?
Yep, DesMoinesAmplified.com, and just go to the show page, and the show is Green Central Station.
All right, and for those of you without spell check, that's DesMoinesAmplified.com, DesMoinesAmplified.com.
Mike, I actually did have a question for you. I am interested, if they do open an investigation into ethics, would it be the same committee that would be doing the investigating? Do you know?
Well, you know, it was kind of frustrating what happened yesterday. I thought they were going to give us a chance to make some comments and stuff, and I was actually going to call for independent special counsel to do an investigation, because I think he should be impeached. I think that's the real issue. I don't want him to be censured. I think he should be out of office.
Yeah.
And the process for that, I mean, is to have independent counsel do an investigation. And that's where we want this to go.
Well, that was a recorded interview from yesterday's show, Hour 2. Mike Pesch called in from Iowa. We wanted to get it replayed for those of you listening in Hour 1 on the podcast. So that's the kind of stuff that's happening in Hour 2. If you ever do get a chance, join us in Hour 2 at live.normal.org with me and Ganja John and sometimes Cannabis Carrie. We just continue the conversations. We take your live calls at 971-533-7111. Hey, everybody, have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for joining us for Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. We'll see you next week, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live.
the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.